So about 7 or 8 years ago, when I was an intern, I ended up in a situation where I was helpless and needed someone to help. Now, some of you that know me will know that my sense of direction is pretty hopeless. And at times, if I'm out driving somewhere for the first time, I normally have some form of satellite navigation or something to help me to get where I need it to go. Well, like I said, about 7 or 8 years ago, there was one night I was driving to a friend's house for dinner out in the countryside, in an area, to be honest, that I didn't know too well. I'd been to their house once before at this point, but I was very unsure of how to get there. And so it was about January time. And so as I was heading to their house, it was very dark outside, which didn't ease any of the nerves about finding their house again. And because it was the countryside, Google Maps could only get me so far. It couldn't directly pinpoint where the house was. It could only give me a general sort of idea of where it was. And so I'm driving up and down the road that I know their lane is on, but I can't quite remember which one it is. And so I drive up and down, up and down, up and down, quite a few times, looking at all the different lanes that are there, seeing if I can find out which one is the right lane to go down. But unfortunately, at that time of night, they all look the same. And nothing, as I'm looking at the lanes, nothing is helping me find which lane is the right lane to go down. And so after a while, I'm like, right, I have to pick one of these lanes. And so I decided to go down one and see if that was it. And so as I'm going down the lane, I'm fairly sure it's the wrong lane that I'm going down. It doesn't seem quite right, but I'm like, it could be the right lane. So I'll just keep going and we'll see where it takes me. Well, pretty quickly, the gravelly road that I was on turned into a grassy lane. And I'm 100% sure at this point that I'm going down the wrong lane. And so I look for a place to turn and try and get the car back onto the road. But as I place the car in reverse, the wheels start spinning. The car is not moving. The tires are stuck and they just keep going round and round and round. They keep spinning. They won't go back. I can only get enough power to go and momentum to go forward. So at this point, I'm starting to slightly panic, but trying my best to remain calm and figure out what my next step is. And so at the bottom of the grassy lane, I see an entranceway into a field where I'm like, if I can get enough speed, I can get the car and I can go into the field and I can turn and I can come back round. Now, if this was a game show and I asked you what happened next, I'm pretty sure all of you know where this is going. because as I head on down the grassy lane, hopeful that I'll be able to keep the momentum and the power going to get turned, I hit the entrance to the field and ka-dunk, I get stuck again. And this time I really am stuck. And so it's at this point that I decide to phone my friend who I'm going to meet and say, just to let you know, I've kind of got stuck somewhere. I'm close by, not quite sure where, but I've kind of got stuck in a field and I'm not quite sure how I'm going to get out of this one. I realized afterwards, as they looked out their kitchen window, they could see the lights of the car from where I was. and so after I phoned my friend, he decides to come round and look at where the car is. I think he was slightly baffled, but also maybe slightly impressed by how far I'd managed to get the car down the lane. Because he had a pretty big 4x4 Jeep. I can't remember exactly what car it was. But even in it, he wasn't going to even attempt to get near me and help me out. So he phones a friend who gets one of the big telescopic handler things that you would use in a farm. I've no idea how else to describe it other than that there. But imagine my wee small Vauxhall Corsa beside this thing. It was huge. And so eventually he shows up with this big telescopic handler and they go down the grassy lane and they start pulling the car out. But before that, we all had a bit of a laugh at how badly stuck I'd got the car and why they needed to help me. But thankfully, because of his friend bringing that big telescopic handler, we were able to get the car out. And before long, I was on my way again, hoping to never repeat the story to anyone. But the thing is, my friend could have turned around to me and said, look, I can't help you. I don't know how to help you out. You've got yourself into this mess. You're going to have to sort it out. You're going to have to get yourself out of it. But the thing is, he didn't. He went over and above to make sure that I got the help that I needed, to make sure that my car got out of the field safely. And even though he didn't have to, he chose to help. And so this morning, I wonder if you've ever encountered a situation like that in your own life, where you've got stuck somewhere and have been totally helpless and in need of someone to come and help. The initial situation can leave us feeling anxious and worried. But then as someone helps us, we can find the gratefulness and the thankfulness of receiving the help of someone else. And so this morning, we're spending a little bit of time thinking about grace in action. And so the first thing to note about God's grace is it is defined as undeserved favor. There's nothing we can do to earn it or get more of it. It is a free gift from a loving God who wants us to come and to know a relationship with him. And so as we look at our Bible passage this morning, Paul starts off his letter to the Ephesians by showing us what life without Christ is like and by reminding us of why we need God's grace for each day. In verses 1 and 2 it says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air and the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." And so as we look back at the very start of our Bibles, we read in Genesis chapter 3 how sin entered the world and how things became that way. In the Garden of Eden, we see Adam and Eve were given a choice as to whether they decided to trust God and follow his commands, trusting that God knew best, or whether they would rebel against God, trying to be the boss of their own lives, thinking that they knew best. And with a little bit of help from the devil, we see that they rebel against God. They don't listen to God, and they think that they know better. And so they choose their own path. Because of their rebellion, sin enters the world. And sin is in all of us and has broken our relationship with God and separated us from him. Which means that because of sin, each of us are spiritually dead and need help to deal with it. Sin lives in all of our hearts, and without Jesus, our nature is to let it dictate what we do and who we are. Because you see, sin causes us to go down the wrong road and follow the ways of the world. It causes us to ignore the needs of others around us and focus only on ourselves and satisfying our own desires. It causes us to pursue things like money, status, power, material possessions, and many other different things, which all seem very appealing. And it causes us to try and put them in place of God as number one in our lives. And because of that, we see the impact of sin and brokenness in the world around us. We see it in relationships that have broken down. We see it in conflicts that are happening in the world around us. We see it in the different people and situations where the intent is to cause hurt and to cause harm to others. And so when we look at the brokenness in the world around us, life without Christ is pretty scary. And the thing is, just like in my story earlier, as much as I wanted to, I couldn't get out and move the car on my own. I couldn't push the car and get it back to a place where I could drive it out. I couldn't fix the situation on my own. I was totally helpless. And so when it comes to sin, we are completely helpless as well. And that's why Paul uses the phrase "dead in our transgressions and sins." Because as much as we like to think that we can fix it on our own, we can't. We need God's help. But then we see at the start of verse 4, we see the tone of Paul's letter to the Ephesians start to change. And it all hinges on that first word in verse 4, "but." As verses 4 and 5 tell us, "but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that we have been saved." We see God's grace in action as our lives are transformed by God through Jesus. Because God saw the condition we were in and the brokenness and the hurt that was caused by sin. And because of his great love for us, he wanted to give us a way back to him. And so Romans chapter 5 verse 8 tells us, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." The cost of sin was far too great for us to pay on our own. And so God gave us his only son, Jesus, into the world to save us and to bring new life. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, we find that forgiveness. We find that forgiveness for sin, and we find the new life in him. A new life where the power of sin over us has been broken, and the power of the Holy Spirit lives in us to help us to live for God each day. And so our response to this offer of new life can only be to accept God's gracious offer of mercy and to place our trust in him, to faithfully guide us and help us to live for him each day. But sadly for now, we still live in a broken world and a sinful world. And even though Jesus has died in our place, we still fall short of God's glory in this life. And so we need to trust that Jesus is redeeming us. We need to trust in Jesus through faith to give us the life and the help that we need for each day. We still mess up, we still get things wrong, but because of God's love, we are forgiven and we are redeemed. And we can hold on to the hope that one day God will make everything perfect and there will be no more sin, there will be no more death, there will be no more pain, and there will be no more tears. A show I've been really enjoying watching at the minute, I don't know if any of you have seen it, is called The Repair Shop. And so in The Repair Shop, people bring their family heirlooms or treasures which have a lot of sentimental value to them. But they have seen much better days. And so craft experts take their treasures and lovingly restore them back to what they once were. And so we see the joy in the owner's faces as their treasures are revealed after being given new life by the craft experts. And so just like the family heirlooms and the treasures that are brought onto the show, we have been broken by sin and need to be restored. And so through Jesus, we are restored. We are transformed, and we are given new life and a new purpose. Which finally leads us on to think about what life with Jesus is like. Because as we receive the gift of God's grace and mercy, we are restored and adopted into God's family. We are given the privilege and the honor of being invited into God's family as we are united with Christ and as we take on his identity. And so life in Christ also means that our hope of salvation and eternity with God in heaven is secure. We don't have to worry about the future because we know the end goal, and we know that the victory is won through Jesus. But also in the here and now, we see that God has a plan and a purpose for each one of our lives. We're reminded in verse 10 that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has prepared us in advance to do. And so to help us, we need to look to Jesus' example to guide us as we live each day. And so as we read through the Gospels, among many other things, we see how Jesus relied on his relationship with God the Father. We see how he loved and cared for those most in need. And we see how Jesus knew and taught the scriptures and taught others all about the good news of God's kingdom. And so as Christians, as we receive God's grace and mercy, we need to continue to rely on our relationship with God to help us to live for him each day. We need to continue to rely on God's word to guide us, not just individually, but as a church family together. And we also need to continue to take time to slow down and spend time with God in prayer. But also as a church family, we need to continue to look out for and help those who are in need. As we live each day by God's grace as Christians, we're also called to point people to Jesus as we trust in him. Trusting that as God's handiwork, God is continuing to shape us and mold us into the people that he has called us to be. Which means for each of us, each day we are faced with many ups and downs, with lots of good times, but also lots of difficult and stressful times. And so what a joy it is to know that in both the good times and the difficult times, we can rely on God and his grace for the strength that we need to face each new day, as he gives us new life new hope, and new purpose. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, it says, "So then, just as you receive Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. As we live each day safe in the knowledge of God's love and grace, guiding us and sustaining us each day. Let us continue to hold fast to God's love, which we experience through Jesus. Let us continue to be molded and shaped by God into the people that he is calling us to be. Let us continue to reach out and to share that love and that grace that God gives us as we experience life with Jesus and walk together in love and share God's grace with each other." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the loving gift of mercy and grace that you show each one of us here this morning. We thank you for the new life that we receive in Jesus as we are transformed by your love and mercy. And Father, help us to hold on to the love and the grace that you have for us each day as we face the challenges that this life brings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.